If we look at our lives, we reflect upon the different activities we go through and what goes on in the world. We see so much diversity, so much difference in cultures, in religions. We all play different roles on this earth plane, in this cosmic movie of God's. There's so much difference between all of us. Yet there's one commonality, one thing that bonds us together, that makes us all striving for the same goal while we're living on this earth plane. And as children of God, meaning God created each one of us in His image of spirit, of divine consciousness, of peace and happiness and joy. And every one of us, regardless of our age, our gender, the roles that we play, everybody in the world, all of us have that common goal. We all want to be happy. And we want a happiness that is never ending, that doesn't come and go, but is something that is with us all the time. And when we talk about this subject, about the need for happiness, we all respond to it. Why? Why do we respond to it? Because we know within our beings, the intuitive perception of the soul, we all know that we want to be happy. And we spend our lives seeking that happiness in all different ways, through possessions, through acquiring things, by finances, and relationships, prestige, positions, so forth. We're all seeking different things in life. Why? Because we feel that those things will bring us happiness. If I have just that next iPhone, or the next computer, or the next model of car, or the next whatever it is that we desire, that relationship, we think it's going to bring us happiness. And things do bring us happiness. They can bring us happiness. But because we are not the senses, we see, we smell, we taste, we touch things in this world, but all of it is evanescent. It's ephemeral. It comes and goes. And not the same thing. Say different things make different people happy. But there's one commonality, and that happiness is the presence of God within each one of us. We have it right within. You know, we sit here in the sanctuary, we have a beautiful altar, we see the images of these great saints, and we bow before the altar, but we have an altar within us. Master said, happiness is the altar of God within you. Happiness is the altar of God within you. We all have that altar of God within us. And it's just a matter of seeking it, seeking in the right place. And some of us may feel discouraged. We may be going through tests and trials in life. It could be on the physical plane, some disease or health problems, some financial problems, relationship problems, emotional, whatever it may be. But Master says, never give up hope, because we cannot avoid or evade the truth that happiness is ours. If we look in the right place, if we go within. The Master said, if it is happiness you want, have it. There is nothing that can stop you. And the Master's come to this earth plane to teach us how to find that happiness. It doesn't come overnight, that unending happiness. It comes through a gradual process of seeking God more and more deeply, of living the spiritual life, of living a selfless life, thinking of others and so forth. And today, I want to cover three main aspects of happiness. The first is that happiness is right within us. The second is, because we are living in a world of duality, of ups and downs, of good versus evil, and health and sickness, and so forth, it's the attitude of the mind that is so important in order to achieve that deeper and lasting happiness. So attitude of the mind is very important. And then thirdly is the idea of getting outside of ourselves, forgetting our little self and serving our larger self in others through service. In service, we learn to forget the little self and to remind ourselves that we are one with everybody else. And the more that we can serve other people, the more our cup of happiness will be filled. When I first came into the ashram, it was quite an adjustment. It was a few years ago, like about 45 years ago. But I still remember. It was an adjustment because, you know, you have outer freedom. When we're living in the world, and we can do whatever we want and our own schedule and so forth, you know, with certain curtailment on, according to our schedules and our jobs and so forth. But in the ashram then, it was a very cloistered life, and we didn't have much access to the outside world. And we would have a shopping trip once a month. And we got so excited, you know, when that week before the shopping trip and the final days, you know, we can go out and get those necessities that we need, or those unnecessary necessities. But it was the anticipation primarily. The shopping trip itself wasn't as great as the anticipation, knowing that we were going to go out and get an ice cream cone. And then when I was a postulant, once or twice, we went to Disneyland. It was a lot less expensive in those days. And Brother Primamoy, who was the house brother at that time, used to tell us, it's the anticipation of the activity that brings greater happiness than the actual thing itself. Just the anticipation, just thinking about it, you know, brings such happiness. And then when we actually experience that condition or that event, it has ups and downs. You know, you may go to Disneyland and then eat too many fritters and get a stomachache or whatever because of the duality. You know that fictional character, Winnie the Pooh? Winnie the Pooh was that Pooh Bear, and that Pooh Bear was pretty much fixated on honey. He was always eating honey. And one of the other characters asked Pooh Bear about what it is that he likes the best. And he said, well, what I like best is, and then he paused for a moment to stop and think. And then he said, because although eating honey was a very good thing to do, there was a moment just before you began to eat it, which was better than when you were. But I don't know what to call it. It's that anticipation, isn't it? Thinking about getting this next possession or this next experience that brings us happiness. But then the actual experience is evasive. It doesn't last. It doesn't stay. And Swami Sri Yukteswar, that incarnation of wisdom, used to say that locking the door of the storehouse of happiness, man runs everywhere begging for that happiness. How foolish when he has the whole store of joy lying within himself. It's a very poignant quotation that we lock the storehouse of happiness and then we run around seeking that happiness. I remember again when I was going to school, and right before summer vacation would come, the last weeks would go very slow. When is it going to come? When is it going to come? The anticipation of summer vacation. And then finally, summer vacation would come, freedom. But then it would go so fast, you know, the days would go by so fast. And then the week before school year would start again, it went so fast, and that I just was trying to grab as much happiness as I could before summer vacation was over. And then we went back to school again. But it's all relative, because the idea is to learn to live in the moment, not to expect that great happiness is going to come through some event or something. You know that comic strip, Calvin and Hobbes? The little boy, Calvin, and he has his toy tiger, Hobbes, who's alive to him, and they carry on conversations, and they play all the time. And one of the strips goes like this, where Calvin looks up at Hobbes and he says, "Tigers don't worry about much, do they?" And Hobbes says, "Nope, that's one of the perks of being feral or being a cat." And then Calvin looks very distressed and he says, "I'm not having enough fun right now." And Hobbes says, "You're not?" And he says, "I'm just having a little bit of fun. I should be having lots of fun." And this happens to be Sunday afternoon, right before he has to go back to school. He says, "It's Sunday. I've just got a few precious hours of freedom left before I have to go to school tomorrow. Between now and bedtime, I have to squeeze all the fun possible out of every minute. I don't want to waste a second of liberty." He says, "Each moment I should be able to say, I'm having the time of my life right now." Trying to squeeze as much happiness out of the moment. But then Calvin throws up his arms and he says, "But here I am and I'm not having the time of my life. Valuable minutes are disappearing forever, even as we speak. We've got to have more fun. Come on." And then the last frame, they're running. And Hobbes is running after Calvin, and the tiger says, "I didn't realize having fun was so much work." And Calvin says, "Sure, when you're serious about having fun, it's not much fun at all." And you know, that cartoonist, Bill Watterson, was a very deep philosopher too. He was a great cartoonist, but he brought out a lot of points about human nature. And it tells a lot about all of us that we're trying to squeeze as much happiness out of life as we can. But where are we looking for that happiness? Are we looking for it in outer conditions and people and things? Or are we looking for it within ourselves, where that storehouse of happiness is locked away? Happiness is the altar of God within each one of us. Guruji said, "If you have ever given up hope of ever being happy, cheer up. Never lose hope. Your soul, being a reflection of the ever-joyous spirit, is in essence happiness itself." Think about that. You know, if we're going through some challenging times and we feel discouraged from time to time, Master is saying, never give up hope, because that happiness that we all want is already within us. We just have to keep on seeking, and seeking in the right place within that presence of God within us, in meditation and in our daily lives, bringing the presence of God near. And one of the greatest things that we can do to experience that peace and happiness is to keep the consciousness at the Christ Consciousness Center, the point between the eyebrows. This is the spiritual center of the body. In fact, someone had asked the Master, if besides Kriya Yoga meditation, is there any other way that quickly brings one back to God? And he says, always keeping the consciousness here at the Christ Center, which we do in meditation. We keep the attention here with all the techniques. The gaze is here. But then during the day, we can also be aware of this presence, of the presence of God right within us. The Master said, "I am always in the kutasta, or the spiritual eye, of the devotee, of the disciple." So more and more, if we seek in the right place, then we will find that happiness. Guruji said, "Open the windows of calmness, and you will find a sudden burst of the bright sun of joy within your very self." Open the windows of calmness as we meditate, as we find that peace that surpasseth all understanding, as the thoughts settle down, restless thoughts settle down, and we become very calm. And then the placid lake of the mind is reflected there, that presence of God, in that calmness. In our Bible passage today, we have the story or the parable of Jesus meeting the woman of Samaria. Jesus and his disciples had gone to Samaria, and Jesus was waiting by Jacob's well. This is on a parcel of land that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. And the other disciples had gone into the town to find something to eat, and Jesus was just standing by the well. And then this woman of Samaria came, and Jesus said unto her, "Give me to drink." And the woman of Samaria was astonished because, you know, there was prejudice and bias, even in those times, this is as there is today. And the Jews didn't have much to do with the people of Samaria. And she said to him, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria?" And then Jesus answered her, saying, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, 'Give me to drink,' thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." And the Master in his commentary explains what this means, what Jesus was offering to this woman who had been a lost disciple. She got lost because of being immoral in a previous incarnation. But then through the guru-disciple relationship, he arranged to meet her again, to bring her back to be a disciple. Guruji's commentary, he says, "The meeting of Jesus with the woman of Samaria was not a chance encounter, but a divinely devised guru-disciple reunion. The Samaritan woman was a morally lost disciple of a previous incarnation whom Jesus wanted to redeem." Guruji says, "Whoever drinks of the fountain of eternal bliss in God will find the thirst of every desire of all his incarnations quenched forever. Souls who discover the everlasting well of bliss within themselves are never thirsty for the evanescent satisfactions of a mortal existence and its material desires. As we said in our opening prayer, 'Free me from all earthly desires and give me that joy that outlasts all the happy and sad experiences of life.'" Because it's through those desires we think that the happiness that our soul is craving for can be fulfilled in the material things of this world. But it's impossible. It can only happen for a time, but then it's fleeting, fleeting happiness. We want that happiness and joy that is deep and lasting, that never leaves us. And that comes through our efforts in meditation specifically. That is why Master said, "Happiness is the altar of God within you." As we go within, in meditation, more and more, we'll experience that happiness, that peace. In our Gita passage today, Krishna talks about this, about the importance of meditation. He said, "To the disunited, one not established in the self, the big self, does not belong wisdom, nor has he meditation. To the unmeditative, there is no tranquility. To the peaceless, how comes happiness?" And Master says in his commentary, "He who does not remain concentrated on his true self, which is the soul, intent on the qualities of his pure soul nature, is wanting in the divine discrimination inherent in the soul. Without this wisdom, his mind is diffused and distracted, scattered by the whims of the senses, leaving him bereft of the faculty of deep meditation with its bestowal of ineffable peace. The unmeditative man, peaceless, finds lasting happiness ever eluding him." So if we want to find that evasive happiness and make it real and lasting, then he is saying we have to be more meditative, more calm, more peaceful within. And then in that interior concentration, we begin to feel bubbling up that deep happiness, which is native to our soul, which is what we are. And then we want to look at the attitude, having the right attitude to bring happiness, because this world is a world of duality, of good and evil, of darkness and light, and health and disease, and so forth. And all the experiences that we go through in life will bring us ups and downs, but the more we can be even-minded and calm and at peace, the more we will be happy, regardless of the outer conditions in life. I remember years ago I was on tour, a speaking tour, and I was in the Dominican Republic, which was a pretty poor country, and I was giving a public lecture, and I gave a Kriya initiation there. And I remember going into the Kriya initiation to conduct that one evening, and it was hot and humid. And next door to the hall where we were having initiation, a garbage truck came. It was making all kinds of noise, picking up bottles and cans, making a racket. And I thought, here we are, this sacred ceremony, and we got this racket going on outside. So I thought to myself, be calm, just wait it out. And I just stood there in the back of the hall, and it took about 10 minutes before they finished making their racket. And then I went up to give the ceremony, and the electricity went out. And there was no air conditioning, but they had ceiling fans, and the ceiling fans weren't working. So it was hot and humid, and I'm trying to give an inspiring ceremony, and I'm wearing this heavy robe, and the perspiration is just pouring down my face, and like I'm bathing myself because I'm just so drenched in perspiration. And then inwardly, I thought to myself, okay, there's nothing I can do. This is the outer situation. It's not ideal. It's not what I would ask for, but this is what Divine Mother has sent to me. So I just called on Master and said, let me be peaceful. Let me be even-minded. And I just had my handkerchief, and I just kept wiping my face and going on with the ceremony. And then I thought, well, then after the ceremony, I can go in and take a shower and get some relief. But then all the electricity went out, and there was no running water. And so I just had to bear the heat and the humidity for another few hours until I got some relief. But it was a good lesson for me to rise above certain conditions, outer conditions, that we cannot control. Sri Dayamataji said, outer conditions are never going to be perfect. I always keep that in mind. Possessions, social position, the praise of others, all of these are transitory. What we have or do not have in this temporal world is not as important to us as our inner attitude toward whatever comes to us each day. It is through perfecting our attitude that we find strength, joy, and realization of our innate divinity. So it's not what we possess, what we have in this outer world, but the conditions of the mind. Because, as Master said, outer conditions are essentially neutral, but we can control how we react to those outer circumstances. One of the people that had one of the greatest adversities in life was Abraham Lincoln. You know, he had generals that didn't follow him. He had cabinet members that were infighting all the time. He had a wife that didn't have a very pleasant home life. Yet, Abraham Lincoln said, most people are about as happy as they make up their mind to be. And he had that inner attitude of happiness through all the outer struggle and conditions of life. Someone else said, half the world is unhappy because it can't have the things that are making the other half unhappy. You know, there's a lot of truth in that, isn't there? You know, we think, oh, if I just had a few more dollars, or if I had this car, or if I had this house, you know, I'd be happy. But the people that have it aren't necessarily happy because it doesn't bring happiness. The Master said, remember, happiness comes by living each moment among all the struggles and problems of life with an attitude of unshakable inner happiness and not helplessly seeking a happiness which is always just out of sight around a corner. Happiness depends chiefly upon the inner conditions created by one's own mind. And we have that free will. We can think whatever thoughts we want, no matter what the outer conditions are. And we can take an affirmation of Master's or of our own, I am calm, I am peaceful, I am happy. I am calm, I am peaceful, I am happy. And repeat those words over and over again in our minds. And the more we repeat, the more we think those thoughts, the more we will actually experience that inner happiness and that peace, regardless of the outer experiences of life. And then finally, the idea of service to others. Master said, to live for self is the source of all misery. You know, thinking of just my family, us four, no more, or just seeking happiness for myself without thinking about other people. But it's a cosmic law that the more we seek the happiness of others to make other people happy, the more the cup of our own happiness will be filled. Booker T. Washington was an American educator and orator. He said, I think I began learning long ago that those who are happiest are those who do the most for others, thinking of other people. And that's why at a temple like this or at centers and groups, we have the opportunity to volunteer to help, like at our days of service where we can help in the gardens or in maintenance or in cooking or arranging flowers or somehow getting out of ourselves and serving other people. And over the years, I've seen that those devotees are the happiest that not only meditate regularly, but they serve. They get out of themselves. Somehow, they serve other people. Guruji said, giving happiness to others is tremendously important to our own happiness and a most satisfying experience. It's a cosmic law that God has set in action. As we get out of our little selves and we think of other people, then more and more our own happiness becomes a part of our own being. You know, if you're in line somewhere in a department store or a supermarket and you say something kind to somebody or you say, oh, you go ahead of me. And to the surprise of other people, they feel happy and then you feel even happier because you've done something for somebody else. You know, if somebody cuts you off on the highway rather than shaking your fist, you just wave and just, you know, smile. And that person will be changed. And you feel more peaceful rather than angry. The doctor, a famous psychiatrist, Dr. Menninger, was asked one time at a seminar, what should I do if I feel a nervous breakdown coming on? And he said, lock up your house, go across the railway tracks, find someone in need, and do something to help. Get out of yourself. Work in a soup kitchen or volunteer at some agency to help other people. There was a sign posted in a volunteer center for the elderly that said, if you want happiness for an hour, take a nap. If you want happiness for a day, go fishing. If you want happiness for a year, inherit a fortune. If you want happiness for a lifetime, help someone else. It's that important. Someone said, some people cause happiness wherever they go. Others, whenever they go. We want to be the first type. Wherever we go, we spread happiness. So in summary then, Master said that happiness is the altar of God within you, seeking happiness in that meditation, regular daily meditation. More and more we become happy. And then as we live our lives in this world of duality where there's always some turmoil and some complexity, control the mind. The attitude of the mind is always positive, regardless of the outer circumstances. And then, lastly, serve other people. Get outside of ourselves, think of other people, and then automatically the cup of our happiness will also be filled. Let me close with these words of our guru. He said, in the beginning of life, in the middle of life, at the end of life, seek the happiness of God, because that alone will free you forever from all sorrows. If you think money will give you happiness, you're wasting your time. It will never do so. If you are seeking human love, you will find in God a love that is a multi-million times greater. To find God is to receive everything the heart craves. And whatever you think you need, you will find fulfilled in God. To be spiritual is to open doors to health, happiness, and success. Now, in thinking about helping other people, let us meditate for a few moments, and then we'll practice the healing technique. So as we pray, just briefly for the physical, mental, and spiritual well-being of those in need, and also let us pray for the world, and especially for those souls who are affected by this conflict in Ukraine, sending them thoughts of healing light and love. Will you please stand and we'll have our healing service. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, thou art omnipresent. Thou art in all thy children. Manifest thy healing presence in our bodies, minds, and souls. Let's raise our arms and chant Om for the healing of the body. Om. For healing of the mind. Om. For healing of soul ignorance. Om. And let us chant Om and send healing light to all those around the world, especially those in Ukraine who are suffering and going through terrible adversity. Let us send them all of our thoughts of goodwill, light, and love. Om. Let us pray, Heavenly Father, Mother, friend, beloved God, Jesus Christ, Bhagavan Krishna, Mahavatar Babaji, Lahiri Mahashai, Swami Sri Yukteswarji, and our Guru, Paramahansa Yogananda. Saints of all religions, we bow to you all. Divine Mother, teach me to find thy presence on the altar of my constant peace and in the joy that springs from deep meditation. Om. Peace. Amen.